WBAE Monitoring.
NACBS Mobile.
Hey, let me turn down the volume here. WBAD Walt, good morning.
Morning, Walt. You got Dakota here. How you doing?
Well, good morning, Dakota. I'm watching a food review from the Arabic viewpoint, Arabic American, giving ratings on the food from Hamtramck and Dearborn. One day I'm going to get back to Hamtramck and try some Bangladesh. I'm serious. No, Yemen. Yemen food. And the price, how would I put this? The price is goes by what the inhabitants of Hamtramck are willing to pay. So it's a lot cheaper than going to a restaurant in Shelby Township.
I'm catching your drift. I'm going to be a little noisy here for a second. I'm going to town. I love Middle Eastern food. It's one of my top three. I think Asian cuisine is probably my number one, and then Italian, and then Mediterranean / Middle Eastern.
I tell you, Dakota, I love the term Mediterranean food. Iraq, the country of Iraq, does not touch the Mediterranean.
Yeah, but it's similar cooking styles.
Oh, I know that. I know, you know, in my youth, I was well-traveled. I've been to Turkey, been to Lebanon, and been to Italy many times, France, Spain, and took advantage of where I was without just standing around, walking around, going, boy, I'm in Italy. Took every tour I could go on. They were only $5, which included a meal. We have a pizza place called Sorrento's, right? Sorrento's. I've eaten in the village in Sorrento, Italy. I don't know, 8-12 times. I lost count. That was all on a $5 tour via the Navy.
I'm not one for traveling, but that is a place I feel like I need to go to at some point in my life. That and Japan, those are the only two countries I want to visit. So we'll see if I ever get around to it. I can't get my wife to commit to a trip to Japan. But it's everything I like, right? It's all technology and sushi. And just weird, different things that you don't see in any other places in the world, but she's not interested in going. But Italy's an easy sell because we're both Italian.
Well, I won't eat raw fish, sushi. I've filleted too many walleye that would have the little red worms in them. Yeah, really. Back to you, Dakota, unless somebody else wants to jump in.
Trust me, I know, I filleted some fish, I'm like, oh my god, I didn't even want to fry this thing, but sushi grade ocean fish is a lot better than, higher quality to eat raw than some white fish out of the Detroit River.
Years ago, myself and my oldest son on the island of Kauai, he knows how to rub out fiberglass, which is an art. And he traded a half-day fishing if he could rub out his 34-foot fishing boat, okay? So we get out there, and one day, first fishing trip, we really never caught that much. We caught these little fish that looked like miniature tuna, maybe about 2 foot long at that. And the captain of the boat said, "No, we give these to the Filipinos. They eat them." And my oldest son said, "No, the Pollock is taking them home." He filleted them, put them on the grill. They were phenomenal. The point being, you know, don't turn up your nose, and I'm not saying you, but don't turn up one's nose that because a different ethnic group eats a particular type of food.
Your talking to a guy that eats deer heart every November. I'm not one to judge. I'll try anything once.
Well, you know, you mentioned heart, beef heart, and you go to the supermarket and you buy the frozen brick of chili, and underneath it says made with beef heart. I haven't lately, but the Dream Market on 18 and Ryan, Dream Market on 18 and Ryan sells a bunch of, you know, they have good prices, the immigrant prices I call them. And they have spices you can't believe. Well, anyway, they sell beef heart every now and then. And I'm thinking, I wonder what kind of soup that would make. I bought a head of cabbage yesterday, or the other day. I've got some hamburger, and I bought a jar of Italian pasta sauce. And I'm going to make soup out of it. Well, the point being, with beef heart, I'm thinking, you know, that's pure meat. I've got to look into it. What I'm getting at is I'm going to get back to making my soup. And since the wife passed away, I have not made anything. I make righteous soup and righteous chunky applesauce. That's the only cooking I know how to do.
I don't recall if I've ever had beef heart. I've always been venison. Initially you're like, ugh. And then now it's like, I kind of go out of my way to not shoot the heart so I can eat the heart, because a couple of years we've made them disappear and can't eat them for breakfast. But we just fry them up with some onions with some garlic and some butter, and man, they're delicious. Good way to beef up your breakfast. But yeah, I'm not one for cooking either. Well, don't feel bad. I can barbecue and make some mac and cheese, and that's about it.
Well, like I said, Dakota, every time you go to Coney Island, you're eating beef heart, for the most part. Milton's is it, and of course, what the hell is the big Coney Island chili manufacturer? Oh, God, Walt, I am losing it. Anyway, you buy the frozen brick, it has beef heart in there, it's listed on the wrapping.
Doesn't bother me none. I eat hot dogs, so God only knows what's mixed in those things.
Well, roger that. Well, tomorrow, one of my sons is going to take me to Detroit, Fole, and Crab. They're in Warren, Vietnamese restaurant. I got hooked up on their PHO, Fole. Sean knows how to pronounce that the right way. Anyway, I got hooked up on their soup.
That's I don't know if I've ever had Vietnamese food, but I heard it's pretty darn good. That's one I'd like to try.
Was there somebody else joining us? I guess not. Like, I'll go to the Mexican place south of 14 on Van Dyke, and I'll get their tripe soup. In Polish, it's flaczki. In Italian, it's tripa. I love tripe soup. You mention that to people, and they go, ugh, beef heart, tripe soup. You know, food is food. You know, you think you're getting a good meal from Burger King?
I was just going to say that same thing. So many people turn their nose at stuff, and they live on fast food. It's like, you realize you're eating the lowest quality food, the leftovers of whatever processing plant they got that meat from. Like, it's not good food.
WB80, well, I am a lot older than you. And people complain nowadays how bad we have it. And then they say, you know, I got to lose 20, 30 pounds. Wait a minute. You, when I look at pictures from my parents during the Depression, World War II, the men never had a waistline. You follow me? I'm serious. Old pictures. You know, what the hell is their waist? 29? You know, and nowadays 36, 38 is the norm. Am I correct?
You are correct. I wear a 38, and it's just, it's kind of, I mean, I don't know. I was a 34 when I played sports and I was in great shape. So, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying. You know, I see guys, what was it yesterday? I saw a guy wearing pants with suspenders. He had like a 58 waist.
Yeah, some of it is genetic. Is that the right word? Yeah, I realize your wife is a nurse. And, you know, I've always said I get more intelligent answers from a nurse than from a doctor. Observation in life is, if the doctor, no, this is just an observation, not a hate statement. If the doctor's from the country in India, he'll price gouge you. He'll run every test for ingrown toenails. But from the nurses, you get the straight skinny.
I don't like doctors in general, and I don't like Indian doctors even more so. But yeah, my wife is a nurse, but she's one of those people that can eat whatever she wants and doesn't gain a pound, so her diet isn't exactly the greatest either, and she's in the grocery department. I actually yelled at her yesterday. I was like, you go to the grocery store, you spend $250 a week on absolutely nothing, but we got a cabinet full of snacks. I'm like, the kids don't need that. I don't need that. You need to buy real food and cook real food.
Which is very hard for a working couple. My story is, and maybe I've repeated it to you before, Dakota, forgive me. The last time I did laundry was 1960 in a Ringer washer. I've never paid a bill. I've never cooked a meal in 62 years of marriage. I was picking up my grandson out of state. My wife bought this house for him. The woman for the mortgage said, your husband has to sign. She said, he's in the car. She could duplicate my signature. I had it good. I mean, I had it real good. And for the last 2 years, my sons have hired people to come in and a couple times a week do the laundry, make sure the mail's taken care of. My son in L.A. Pays the bills. My two sons here burp me. And, yeah, I mean, people like me, and there's a lot of people like me that married above their station. In other words, my wife took care of me.
The sad thing is we live in a day and age where that's considered sexist, but I'm all for that. I think the man does the man things and makes the money, and the wife does the wife things and takes care of the household and the kids. Unfortunately, in this economy, it's pretty hard to get by with a single income unless you're making a boatload of money. Fortunately, she works 3 days a week, so she is mom and wife 4 other days a week, so it's a decent balance. Her insurance alone is worth her working, so it would cost me about another mortgage to insure the family. So, no, I agree. I think that's how it should be. A lot of men think it shouldn't be that way, and a lot of women definitely don't think it should be that way, but it is what it is. You know, we got men that have boobs now, so welcome to 2024.
Yeah, we got married young, 18, and didn't have to. I point that out. In fact, there was no shuggly muggly before I married my wife. There was no shack it up. So she was working at Tancom. We got married in Norfolk. Then the ship went out on a six-month cruise, med cruise. And when I came back, went to the hotel eagerly. Next day, I go back to the ship. I come back that evening. She's packing. I go, what is this, a one-night stand? She said, no. I transferred. She worked for the government, Tancom and Warren. She said, I transferred everything to NOB, Naval Operations Base in Norfolk, and I found a place to live. This is the kind of woman I married.
That's a good woman. She knows what she wants and how to get it.
WB80, but she didn't know how to cook. So I came out. She was working. She'd come home and start dinner. I said, you didn't cook the other side of the pork chop. I was on an old aircraft carrier. They had good chow because they had the facilities to store stuff. Anyway, I never complained about Navy food because my parents were went through the Depression, World War II, and, you know, we could survive, not to brag about food. I get a kick out of people, you know, this is the finest steak I ever ate. It was only $75. Oh, you know, I'm from the generation, you know, it's like, okay, give me a couple hot dogs. I'm fine. You know, fry me up an egg. I'll make an egg sandwich.
NATDF. I've got buddies that buy $150 tomahawk steaks to grill, and I'll never understand. I can afford it, I just won't do it. It's in one meal. I'm not spending that much money on it, like you said. You know, there's, I can go buy a ribeye for $15, call it a day.
WB80 in Sterling Heights, we have a big Caledonian community, and I love it. I mean, in the summer, the garage doors open. They have a table there with chairs and two freezers. If they really got money, they have two freezers in the garage. One is for pork, one is for beef. And I get such a kick out of it. And I'm sure they're stocked, you know. And this is people that come from an area that they may not have had much or, you know, went through the wars in Iraq that we had to liberate. I love that. I've always said George Bush should have been tried as a war criminal for going into Iraq. We accomplished nothing in that part of the world. And Rumsfeld, is it? Here's another one. Secretary of, I forgot what the hell he was. Anyway, we go into Iraq. We screw up that whole country. We screwed up Vietnam. They're communist. I don't know, buddy.
Colonel George W. Bush, one of the major degenerates of our presidencies, why do they store the pork and beef separately? Is that I don't understand why they just have that much of it?
It's a status symbol, from what I understand. It has nothing to do with, well, they're Catholic, their form of Catholicism. It's a status. If you've got two freezers in the garage, it means you made it. Now, having said that, my neighbor had to go over to one of those lakes in Oakland County, maybe northern Macomb County. That's where the really rich Caledonians live, okay? And those little ponds, they're called, you know, you take an old gravel pit, and I'm serious, you subdivide the lots and you call it a pond. Anyway, he said, that's where you really see the, it's understandable. I don't know if you're familiar with Caledonian weddings. One nurse that we used to go to doctor to, she said, $100,000 for a wedding is nothing nowadays from a well-to-do Caledonian family.
I'm not sure why you'd want to live on a retention pond, but whatever floats their boats. And yeah, I know I've heard that those Middle Eastern weddings are gigantic.
I used to have a Caledonian barber, the young lady. I was going in there, and if her hair was done up, and the first time I did this, I said, how was the wedding? And she started telling me about it. She said, how did you know I went to a wedding? Well, then talking to her and the nurse, the younger Caledonians, they're sick and tired of every weekend going to a wedding and putting money in the envelope. I mean, if you don't put money in the envelope, your whole culture hates you. But there's two things about that community, which I observe. Number one, they're cutthroat when it comes to money. Number two, they're very generous and loving people if you get to know them.
I know a few. I've never had any issues with them. Definitely a different way of life, but good people for the most part. But just like anything else, there's always going to be a bad apple in every culture and religion and political viewpoint, and you name it.
Oh, yeah. But getting back to hunting and fishing, what's your next endeavor?
I'm hoping to go out this weekend, but I woke up this morning, well, I left work yesterday, and my back was bothering me, and then I woke up this morning, and it's hard to walk. So I've got my lumbar jamming into my back right now with the heated seat on, and trying to loosen it up, but I'm hoping to go duck hunting on Saturday or Sunday.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Twice in my life, I've gotten massages that really, really just took all the aggravation out of my body. Because you got a bad back, or I have bad knees, bad feet. One was on the island of Kauai. Happened to be walking away from whale watching from the shore. The gal was from Flint, and she, that was her whole life, traveling the Caribbean and getting to Hawaii as a masseuse. I mean, real, not me, good girl, boom, boom. And by the time she was through with me, number one, when she started, I go, where the hell did she intern in Dachau? And then she went from the really ripping me apart to putting me back together. Let me buy some time. So she's, like I said, she's from Michigan, and she's actually in the condo above me, and she brought her table down, and I told her, I said, the wife and I, we're different personalities. She's shopping. I said, when my wife walks in, you yell to her, what the hell are you doing here? Charlene unlocks the door, comes in, and the gal yelled out, what the hell are you doing here? Charlene is sputtering. She said, all I could see is a guy half naked on a table. That was crazy. Let me buy some more time. The second masseuse was a gal from Thailand for $40 an hour and a half. Now, she did not give you the rough treatment. Hers was a soothing. I don't know why. Every time I went to Kauai, I had to pick up my grandson. My son paid for everything. Don't think I got money. And my arthritis would kill me in my feet. I mean, it would literally kill me. And what I'm getting at is a massage works wonders. It's not a cure, but I tell you what, it really helped out. $40 for an hour and a half. Every time I'd fight not falling asleep, and I'd fall asleep. But the gal told me from Thailand, she said it took an one and a half years of schooling before in her country she could be certified.
Yeah, well now it's about $100 for, I think, 45 minutes or an hour. I need to get one. That's just one of those things that I need to get time to get one. I always joke with my wife. I'm like, I need a big old Russian girl just whoop my butt and loosen everything up. And I hate to say it, my back problems are from sitting for a living. And my new job, I must have a crappy old chair because ever since I started here, my back's been in shambles. At home, I've got one of those, like, Australian-made ergonomic $1,500 desk chairs that I found on Facebook Marketplace for $150. And it's the most comfortable thing I've ever sat in. And then here, I don't know what the hell we've got, but it is destroying my back.
I wonder where Sean's at. Many, many decades ago, I was carrying an outboard motor up on the banks of the Asaba River, and my lower back, I just ripped it apart. My family doctor said, here is some exercises we give pregnant women. I go, you're kidding me. He said, no. Do these exercises, you know, lay on the floor, bring your knees up, stretch out, heating pad. The old heating pads, you could fry an egg on, you know, not these little trendy things that turn off. And that worked it out. That worked it out.
That's my biggest complaint about those things is they don't get hot enough and then they shut off after like 15 minutes. So what good is that going to do me?
Yeah, I had one. It finally, after like 20 years, it bit the dust. So I go buy one. I forgot where. I bought it where I could return it. And it's like I'm waiting for heat up. And it did heat up, and that was the max of it. You know, like a warm like a towel you put under hot water and wring it out and put on your back. There's so much stuff out there. It's like, you go to Costco and that $5,000 chair, which massages you and heats you. I get, God, I always wish I could afford one of those, but yeah. I wonder where Sean is. Sean, are you awake? If not, back to you, Dakota. WBAE.
Maybe he's playing hooky today.
I think he did that the other day. Well, I think today I'll hit Gordon Food. I got to buy some pork base. In other words, I'm gonna make pork soup. For the most part, it's just me here, and it's hard to cook. So, as I mentioned, I'm getting back to cooking on making my soup. If I make a 6-quart pot of soup, it will give me a good week of having a great lunch. So, cabbage hamburger soup I'm gonna make. With a quart of Italian pasta sauce. So I seen it on TikTok. I get all my news on TikTok now. Back to you, Dakota. Unless somebody wants to join us.
NATDF. I had soup for dinner last night, and that is probably one of my favorite meals, especially this time of year. I love fall soup. It's kind of like an Italian wedding soup. It's a shell noodle with a thick red broth, using a venison roast and all kinds of yummy veggies and things like that. So the recipe that my grandma, my papa showed my grandma, that my grandma showed my mom, that my mom showed my wife. So it's been in the family for a while, and it's probably my favorite soup dish I've ever had. I'll have to get you a thing of broth one time. You can give it a try. But I'm finally rolling into work here, Walt. My sister was supposed to be at my house at 6:30 to watch the kids, and she showed up at 7. So nice and late this morning. I think today I'm gonna bounce out of work here at 4:35, since it's Friday and all the executives are in Vegas. And I've got a FTM 500 that I have to install in the truck this afternoon. It should be getting delivered today. So today's the last day you'll have to hear me on an HD. I'll be clear up here as well. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'll catch up with you later. NATDF.
Okay, Dakota, always a pleasure, my friend. My young friend, WBAD.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks. I just it's been a morning.
No, I get it. It's frustrating up in there, and it's frustrating hearing it from someone that I know on the outside trying to get service. So I'll make sure it's addressed.
I figure it was just a bunch of customers complaining a lot, and the queues are full.
That's 99% of it. we're still dealing with the, I don't want to call it the aftermath, but it is the aftermath of the acquisition of CFL. So it's not easy high while everything gets sorted out, people get acclimated, people need new stuff, people need to get the bills fixed or whatever, so that's why it's so backed up, and we even have some of our sales team helping with some of the billing team. So once I found out that you got transferred and who you talked to, I knew what all the flow you got routed into, so I just reached out to that one directly to call him and get him situated. So he should be calling you and getting taken care of. If he doesn't, let me know.
Alrighty, will do. Yeah, you got some kind of beeping noise going on your signal. I don't know if somebody's keying up or what.
I hear it too. I don't know. I'm on Warren, so I don't know what that is.
Gremlins or ghosts in the machine, I guess. You had it, you're out to lunch right now?
Yeah, I'm going to grab my Chipotle burrito and head back to the office and sit. Full Friday, thankfully. A lot of the executives are out for the weekend. It's the owner's birthday, so they're all out of town. So nice and quiet, and hopefully getting out of here at a decent time. My 500 should be getting delivered today, so I get to go home for that, and super stoked about that.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice day and a nice weekend. I don't know if you knew there's a lark going on at Stony Creek on Sunday, I think, but I know your schedule's kind of crazy with kids and stuff like that, but just letting you know.
Is it at noon? I might be able to make it.
Yeah, noon until question mark, usually like 3 or whatever. So yeah, Stony Creek. It's in a different spot, though. I have to give you the information.
All right, if I get away for a bit, I'll swing out there and say hi to everybody. It's been a long time. Trying to have the discipline to not order an 891 right now, being that it's almost winter, but I can't remember what their sale prices usually drop down to. I think it's $879 right now, or $870 right now, or $670, I'm sorry. I can't remember if they go down to $599 or if they usually hang around that $650.
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention, so I couldn't tell you what a good price is, but definitely a popular radio. Everybody seems to have one, not everybody, but, you know, it just seems like a lot of people have them. And there's one guy out here, his name is Ben. He talks to Anthony. I heard him talking to Anthony yesterday. And he's got a 500 and a 891 mounted in his car.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll probably end up with. I'm pretty convinced, and having first-hand experience with it, I was never disappointed. So keep an eye on it for a bit. I don't know, I might pull the trigger here sooner rather than later. I'm still going to wait on the 500, but I do kind of want to get one and start playing a little more HF before A, election year, or election, and B, before it's super, super cold out, because even when it's in the 30s, I can still get out and mess around.
Yeah, so the 891, I can't remember, does it have a detachable head, or is it just, it's on the body? Does it have a detachable head?
Yep, it's classified as a mobile radio.
Oh man, should have told me that. Now I'm going to want one.
To get that much packed into that small of a package, I mean, it's a small radio. It does get warm. I love that radio. There's no bells and whistles, right? It's very, very simple. But it does all things HF, and you can get a digital card for it, but I don't really use much FT8, especially in the field, so I wasn't worried about that. But, yeah, no, it's a sweet radio. I was looking at the G90 again. I was looking at the 6200, and I was like, for the money, you know, might as well just end up with the 891, because it's 100 watts and it's the size of an FPM 200.
Yep, and then you can just leave a mag mount in your car or whatever, and what do you call it? Not signal stick. I just have a ham stick handy, and you're sitting waiting somewhere for a while, it's like, oh, well, I'll just, while I'm sitting here waiting, I'll go hook up my HF radio.
Exactly. I still have my 20 and 40 meter hamsticks. I just need to rig up a little mount for them. But, yeah, I think that's the missing piece to my puzzle here.
Yeah, and that one I can wait on until there's a sale. I'm not going to, I don't know if it'll ever go on sale. It's popular, you know. So if it ever does go on a crazy sale or whatever, I don't know. You should have picked up Pete's when he was selling it. It was almost brand new. But I don't know what he was selling it for.
He sold it for $500, and trust me, I regret not jumping on it, because now I'm going to spend $200 more. Give me a second, I got to run in and grab my lunch real quick. NADBF.
TFADA. KCKQ. Hello, Mr. Cujo. I think it's Cujo. KCAKJO. TFADA.
Affirmative. Kilo Charlie, Kilo Juliet Raptors, Joe. Just messing around. I got this. Messing around with EMR. Now, having fun. Wife went out shopping. Left me home alone with radios and a laptop.
Aha, yep. Yeah, I'm just trying to sort out some of my tasks. And, kind of took the day off. It's not really a day off, but most of my coworkers are traveling today, so there's not much for me to do. So it's like a pseudo, if there's something somebody needs, I'm on it, but otherwise I am just taking care of my business today. But yeah, so very cool. So you're at home then on an HT into Richmond, is that correct?
Affirmative. I am sitting at the table. Can't go back to work until next Friday. I got clear to drive, clear to take the brace off when I go to bed, blah, blah, blah. But this is quote-unquote extended. So I had 17 days of vacation, so I took 5-6 days, and it upped it off ever since. That way I get 100% pay and don't have to use short-term.
Very good. Yeah, I've got one more full week here, and then I'm taking 2 weeks off. But those are going to be busy 2 weeks. And then week back to work, and then I think it's Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I've saved all my time off for the end of the year. Kind of didn't take much off during the first half of the year, so all that's going to be used at the end, like a lot of people do.
Yeah, this was an anticipated time off. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. But I get all together with floating holidays, sick days, and vacation days. I have 35 PTOs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they give us quote-unquote unlimited. But what I do is I just schedule it. I just say, you know, okay, well, I know it's unlimited, but these are the times that I can take off. And they're as long as it's within reason, they like you. They usually approve it all. Like, they don't want you to take a whole month off, for example. But let's see if Dakota's back. Are you back, Dakota? Over to you if you are. Alrighty, he's either back at his office or he's still in there. Food. Go ahead again.
Yeah, I don't have unlimited sick days. We got rid of that. We picked up Thanksgiving Day with the new arbitration contract. So we gave up unlimited sick days and just have the 5-4. We're pretty much in line with corporate. And because I've been with the company over 25 years, actually over 30 years, I picked up the extra 5 days of vacation day that non-arbitration employees got, so I made out, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, my old employer, they let you bank up to 180 hours with how it worked there. And you didn't lose it. It banked. Once it reached 180 hours, you wouldn't accumulate anymore. I always kept it max just so when I, if I ever quit, I would get that money paid out. But they shortly went to unlimited there, and then they made everybody use their pool. But I had left that company before that happened, so I got cashed out. So when I changed jobs, so that was a good thing. It's almost like an extra month, you know, 180 hours. I had to do math in my head. Don't ask me to do math, man. 4 goes into 18. How many times? So yeah, about 4.5 weeks, right? Yeah, 40 times 4 is 160 plus an additional 20 hours, so, yeah, that's pretty good. Got all confused when I had to learn the new way of doing math with my kids. I just use a calculator, you know, but I'm old school. I graduated in 87, so I'm up there. I'm like around like John's age. Okay, yeah, I graduated in 92, so I'm halfway between you and Sean, I guess. You are halfway between me and Sean. Yeah, I have some customers and some friends. I graduated in 92. That's the year my son was born. Lordy.
I graduated in 74. 50 years ago, and I'm older than dirt. WHCRY, good afternoon.
Good afternoon there. Yeah, that was the year I was born. So, wow, that was 50 years ago.
I'm a year. Long time ago! And I was born in 56, so I'm currently 68. Then again, I just finally broke down and just got a ham ticket, so what do I know? Good afternoon, everybody. It's Donald, in case some of you who don't know who I am. But, yeah. So, anyways, I will back out, let you guys enjoy your lunches, and W8RCY.
Yeah, they're out of here, too. I'm going to actually do the packing that I said that I was going to do. I was just doing a bunch of phone calls, so. I'll listen out for your final there, and I will chat with you later. KF8S, and if you're out there, Dakota 73 to you as well.
73, Jones, I just got back in the truck. NADBS.
73 to you, KCKJO. I'll be listening. Sitting at the kitchen table, playing with DMR. KCKJO out.
K-E-8-R-U-H, mobile.
Thank you.
KV0 DCO monitoring.
KK7CU from W8EAP.
Hi, Eric. I'll jump in and say hi to you, W8EAP, KV0 DCO. Maybe WADAP can't hear me, KV0DCO. Yeah, I'll disconnect and reconnect back up again. Let's see if this works. WADAP, KV0DCO. Now looking at the website here, looks like I am transmitting, so maybe WADAP forgot to turn up his volume. Poor Eric. KV0, DCO, back in monitoring.
Yeah, the frequency's been kind of quiet today. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet out here. KKKO.
Well, good afternoon. Name here is Thomas. Call Kilo Bravo 0 Delta Charlie Oscar coming to you from Stuart, Minnesota via hands over IP and directly into the Flying Bears International ARC link, or should I say with an S, links.
Copy. I'm sitting in Memphis, Michigan on one of the repeater sites that's close by my house. I got Kilo Bravo 0, but I didn't get the rest.
No problem. Delta Charlie Oscar. Kilo Bravo 0, Delta Charlie Oscar. And you can shoot me back your call, and I'll jot her down.
Yeah, this works. And my call sign, Charlie. You remember?
I got to drag my feet there because you were in and out of the repeater, so you must be on the edge of the footprint. I did not copy any of that.
All right, let's try another radio. How do you hear me now? KKKJO.
Yeah, that time got a clean audio signal there, and I copy KJO. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I'm running a DMR radio on my laptop. I got an air conditioner on the side here, and but it's KCAKJO. Name is Tom Tango Oscar Mike. Easy way to remember, my call is KCAKJO.
Well, we won't forget our names. I'll go by Thomas, and I'll let you go by Tom. There you go. Okay. Yeah, and so, yeah, much better there. Because it just sounded like, yeah, if you're on an HT, that's kind of what it sounded like. And I thought, well, maybe you were mobile, and you were just out of the footprint of the repeater there.
The northernmost repeater is...
Well, interesting. I'm seeing the Fenton hub keying up on my end, and I didn't quite catch which one you were coming in, but yeah, I heard a lot of picket fencing there on that last one, so don't know if that's battery or RF, but it's kind of a wish, so it makes it a little challenging there.
And, I put the HD up to 5 watts, it's about as high as it goes. Little UV5R from Volfang. So like I said, I'm walking through the house, but if I go closer to one side, then I'm closer to the repeater compared to the other side.
Ah, yes, the not so formidable HT. I guess I have an opinion about things. I don't think they're that great a quality, though I do not own one. But from hearing from others, you hear more negative stuff than you hear positive. The only positive I hear is that it's cheap. Even for doing stuff for hidden transmitter finding with them, not so good. So that's what I know so far about things. I haven't had any in my hand to play with. Of course, Radio City is no longer in Twin Cities, so there's really no ham radio store to go check things out anymore. So you have to kind of go on, hopefully, say, hey, anyone have that radio, go on YouTube and explain all you can about it. That's about the only way we can do anything nowadays. And even Best Buy used to be where we lived here in McLeod County here in Hutchinson. They had a Best Buy store. They didn't hang around there. They were there for I don't know how many years, but didn't seem all that long. And they always, I guess, prided themselves with a commercial saying, yeah, come in and get your hands on it and try it out, you know, that kind of a thing. But, yeah, I think the closest radio store to me would be Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah, that would be about an 8-hour or more drive for me, maybe closer to a 9 or a 10-hour drive. But, yeah, you're not going to get too many radio stores that are the old ma and pa kind of store, which Radio City was. Dan and Maylene Fish had ran that business for many, many years, and we were hoping, I mean, as the ham radio community, we're hoping that someone would have bought up the business and continued it, but nobody did, so unfortunately, it closed out. But we get to see them at a ham fest every now and then, to whenever they're going to get rid of whatever they got left, and of their stock, and that's that, unfortunately. But, you know, my ham radio friend N0TWP said, you can't find anyone to help you with anything. Well, yeah, I kind of get the feeling. I said, yeah, the only thing really got left is YouTube videos. help me, do this, help me do that. Yeah.
Who cares?
Where is the experts, you know? So that's what ended up happening nowadays. You just don't have the experts to talk to. KC8KJO, back to you.
I actually like my little valve thing. It's short, portable, low cost, and easy to program through Chirp. So, and plus, you know, you could program it strictly for GMRS, too, if you wanted to. But so far, I've been pretty happy with it. I got one of the older models, pretty reliable. Haven't had a problem with it since I bought it.
Well, that's great. Yeah, because when new radios come out on the market, it's like, okay, who are these guys? When you got ICOM and Yaesu and Kenwood, we consider those the prime three, but MFJ people kind of have a so-so feeling about them. And the old joke that people call it, mighty fine junk. So everyone has their experiences. And like I say, if they're negative, they seem to get out a lot more faster than the good stuff does, but anyway, that's how anything is, really.
You forgot illegal.
Yeah, Lincoln's been in there for a long while, too. I never owned one, but I've usually stuck with Yaesu, is what most of my radios are. I've had Kenwoods for mobiles and Icons for mobiles, but mainly everything
that cares
has been more or less here on the base.
Yeah.
Sounds like we got another station breaking in. KCKGL other station, go ahead.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Tom. It's just someone being interfering, probably, because they don't know how to use their call sign, if they even have one.
Copy that. Flying Bears is a good group of people. I've met quite a few of them over the radio. One of them helped me set up my DMR hotspot. Got that all taken care of. And the head guy for Flying Bears, I'm sure he will locate the station, not identifying themselves.
Oh, yeah. We're kind of in the same boat here. Had an issue here in the Twin Cities, and we got called up, and me and my friend, N0TWP and myself, we hunted down a locked-up transmitter and ended up being in downtown St. Paul. S9 plus 60, a lot of other people had a hard time finding it. We got our equipment out and our experience, and we tracked it down, and then the guy popped up and said, "Oh, that's my transmitter," and then he got... He recycled it, and it went off the air, but it was stuck on for at least 4 or 5 days. So we got high praise from the Twin City hams here to toot my own horn. And we're going on another hidden transmitter hunt, though a fun one. Actually, there's going to be three of them down in Faribault in southern Minnesota, and then we're going to go for the big finale up in the Twin Cities for Minnesota hams. With their group, and that's going to be a challenging one, too. So we're going to have a busy day, all day Saturday, and putting on the mileage there, Tom.
KCKGO. Yeah, that sounds like fun. You know, unfortunately, I don't have the spare time. I mean, I have it right now because I'm off until next week due to neck surgery, but... You know, anything else like that, they're usually packed with the family.
Oh, sorry to hear about that. Hopefully that goes well for you.
Oh, the surgery went quite well. I'm on the healing side of it. And like I said, I've already been off for like 4 weeks. Going back next week. I'm extremely ecstatic about going back to work.
Yeah, such as life goes, but yes, well, okay, then good. I'm glad things are going well for you then. It has no fun being in pain, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm basically retired early, so I don't have a set schedule anymore, so I can have my fun whenever I want to do it. And that makes it easier to do other things, harder to do others. But, you know, as some people say, hey, once you're retired, now you got more work to do. So, yeah, you're always doing something. But I do feel sorry for the people that sit there with nothing to do. I mean, they can't think of anything to do. And maybe if it isn't the physical health might be what prevents a lot of people from doing that. So you have to consider, it's like, hey, if I can physically get up and move around, that's a good thing. So I kind of feel a little bit sorry for the ones who can't.
Oh, yeah, I've occupied my time. In regards to Alinco radios, yeah, I actually have an Alinco mobile in my work vehicle, and I am quite happy with it. Nice large display, color display. And full 70 watts on VHF and UHF. It took me probably about a week of research to finally get the Elenco. A friend of mine has a Yaesu. So I like it. I like the Elenco. It serves me quite well. Yes, my fall thing serves me quite well. The other two radios I was talking on before are older Elenco ATs. They do the job.
Well, having the power to be able to get through, they say, use the minimum power to do what you need to do, and sometimes the HT, you have to maximize that. but yeah, for the Yaesu radios I got, my most recent one is the 991A. Like that radio a lot. And I've been using that for the hidden transmitter hunts as well. Been very useful. And then also we got a satellite rig, Yaesu 847. And my HF rig is a Yaesu FE890. So, yeah, got plenty of Yaesu rigs sitting around. though I do miss my ICOM 706 Mark IIG. I had that for a mobile radio for a long time. And then, unfortunately, I don't know how moisture got into the doggone thing, but I had changed vehicles to a pickup truck for a short period of time, and I mounted it behind the bench seat, and for whatever reason, moisture got in there, and I don't think the cab was well sealed, and I think that's maybe what ended up happening. So I'm not a big fan of pickup trucks. I like my SUVs where they're definitely well sealed and keep the moisture out. So that was a disappointment on that. So I was going to try to find a newer version with the color display when that happened. And unfortunately, I just didn't, they weren't making it anymore. So I was like, oh, that was a big disappointment. And I like the idea of the detachable head off of the radio, and then you can put the rig in the, you know, behind your driver's seat, you know, and just run the control cable up there. And I just mounted it right above, or should I say behind, the steering wheel on the dash. And so you could be looking down the road and looking at your radio screen and turn the knob where you're not looking down, you know, towards the floor underneath between the two seats there, you know, anywhere down there. Keep your eyes facing forward down the road. So I always thought that was a more preferable place to mount the display. And so I missed that. Back to you there, KC8KJO, KB0DCO.
Yeah, my Elenco has a detachable faceplate, and it's actually mounted just probably about the 2 o'clock position for my steering wheel. And I can, like I said, it has a nice big display on it, nice backlit display. So at a good distance, I can see it. And got all my stations programmed in there and the station ID. So I just flip through. I got an up and down. I just do an up and down through the DTMF mic and hit my power, drop it down when I need to, increase it when I need to, and switch between channel A and channel B. And does quite well. Then I got a digital decoding trunking scanner on top of that.
Yeah, cool. The only scanner that I have is an old Radio Shack Pro 2006. my friend N0TWP has a real fancy one. I don't even know what brand it is. But from what he told me about it, it sounds like he can set up the radius rings of how far from his radio that he wants to receive from. For whatever police, fire, whatever is going on, or state patrol, whatever. And he can set certain mileages out and say, yeah, if I'm within this mile radius ring, then he would get that stuff. And I thought, oh, that was kind of neat. I think some hams were talking about something similar to that, maybe in some new radios while they're traveling, you know, in a mobile radio. Driving across country or whatever, and you don't want to be programming the radio for all those places that you're driving to. So, yeah, having that type of feature would be useful, especially with programming any kind of radio. But having it on the fly and as you're driving, hey, you know, and it go by GPS as well. So, sounds very well interesting. I also, looking up on the screen, I see that W8EAP is monitoring there as well, I believe. So I'm going to try calling for him earlier. I heard him on, but he must have disappeared for a while or whatnot. So I'll see if he's out there. And if he doesn't pick up, then go ahead and grab it there, Tom. Let's see. W8EAP, if you're there, pick it up. If not, Tom can get it, KC8KJO. In the group, KB0DCO.
KB0DCO. I had to look at my writing. I had one of my contacts on KB0DCO. I'm going to step away for a moment or two, call a painter, and then I will be back. KB0DCO.
Roger that. KB0DCO. We'll sit back and monitor.
KB0DCO. KB8DCO, this is Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Tango Papa. Are you still on frequency?
Yeah, for sure, Patrick. I'm here. I heard you there. Go ahead.
I was hearing your conversation. I didn't want to interrupt you guys' conversation because I'm sitting on the highway going south and it's slow going up here in Flint on 475, not 475, heading south.
Yeah, no problem. Come in anytime. Though, sounds like we've had some other issues going on, but you've probably been reading the mail on it, so, yeah, best to keep tabs, and then we'll find out more a little later on. But anyways, yeah, how are you doing there today, Patrick?
I'm on my HT this time, so there shouldn't be any issues. If it was me having a problem programming the mobile Yaesu the other day, so hopefully I won't kill the Flint repeater like I did.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all about, as Sean was saying, yeah, once you get there trying to figure it out, you know, everyone tries to help you out, you know, and then the other thing too, it's like, yeah, what model radio you got, and then people can look up the online manual and try to walk you through something. Say, here, push these buttons. So, yep, they're getting more complicated instead of easier.
Yeah, I'll probably just end up resetting that one, starting fresh again, because I don't know what I did. So before I have another issue where I have the transmit button open on my radio and I don't notice that it's on or see any indication that it's on, I probably end up resetting and starting all over again.
Yeah, that's kind of what some techs have even told me about one of my radios too. It's like, yeah, do a full factory default, you know, reset. And sometimes that works. Unfortunately, sometimes then the same problem comes back after that. So obviously it didn't fix it. But in most cases, yeah, that should help. And then, yeah, probably while you're doing all that, in the menu system and with the APRS and other things, but as we were discussing the other day, or other night, that we're hearing a tone, but not necessarily a packet of data, or at least from what I'm familiar with how it sounds over the air. And so that's why I was kind of scratching my head and saying, what is that? I never heard it before. So that's why we didn't really have an answer, direct answer for you right away, but Sean could identify that it was coming from your repeater, at least your location out there. So at least, you know, we tried to, you know, narrow it down. So But, yeah, weird things can happen. And now, question for you. Was this a used radio or was this a brand new radio? I guess I should have asked that.
Well, in my defense, I still don't think it was my radio because I had my Baofeng in the background going too, and I never heard any tone on that one as well. It was a new, well, it still is a new Yaesu FPD 500, I think that's what it's called. And I just had it for about a week. I had got most of the other Flint repeaters I had got all the other Flint repeaters programmed into it. I was working on the 400 or the 440. So that's when the issue started, or when I heard it arise.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because I remember you were talking about the VHF and UHF, so. And I'm trying to remember, and I might not even know, to be honest, is that as far as the APRS frequencies and what they're using, and someone, I think, told me that they're using the UHF frequencies versus the VHF frequencies, but don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure on that. But yeah, I think as far as your side of things, it might not have been you at all either. It could have been the repeater itself or something else getting into the system. And you and I just so happened to be in at the right place at the wrong time.
I don't know, but I'm going to probably try it again this weekend. I'm going to do a whole reset. I didn't program it. Program in the 400, the 440s in first and see how that goes. I still got my FT60, which I'm talking on right now, which is my handheld, and I seem to have no problem with that one. It's basically the same thing almost, except I don't think this one has APRS on it.
Well, to my knowledge, I think there's very few models that have APRS, and of course, I'm a little out of touch on it, but I know there was a Kenwood mobile radio when I think it first basically came out, and I don't even know what the model number was. I knew it was a Kenwood, but I never got into APRS, though there's been a lot of people that have gotten into it and kind of report and beaconing out, here I am. And I said, okay, that's all good and nice to see you on a map, a U.S. map, wherever you're at, traveling. But, you know, it's like, okay. So then the next step is like, yeah, well, I kind of look at it as the text messaging part of it. You know, get on the keyboard and, you know, what I consider packet radio is type, 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 hit enter, radio goes, and sends the message off, and then the next person, if it's kind of daisy chained from one ham to another ham to another ham to get to the person at its destination, and then whichever direction and whoever hams it goes through to get back to the originator. And like I said, that's what I played with when I got into packet using a Kentronics all-mode TNC. Even used it for WeFax, even kept some RF... from the satellite, I don't know if it's directly from the satellites. I think it was actually ground-based stations that would relay those WeFax or WeatherFax maps digitally, and then pick it up through the TNC, and then have a nice picture show up on your screen. Of course, line by line by line, but like slow scan TV. So yeah. It was fun to do that stuff for a while, but you know, you're just receiving. You're not doing much of any transmitting at all. That's just receiving only.
Yeah, I believe that might be FT8. I'm not too familiar with that. I'm still trying to work on my general so I can get more of the bands open. I know as a technician, I got access to 10 meters. I take a little bit of 6, but I'd rather have the whole HF under general before I deal and buy another radio. And that way I can deal with FT8 and packet radio. Because right now, I'm a little bit tight on budget. And Christmas is coming up. I got a lot of purchases. And dragging my daughter to the technician class so she can learn it. So hopefully she can get into it as well with me. So we'll see how that goes. And this is KEHZTV at the 22 mark, or 41 mark.
Yeah, okay there, Patrick. Yeah, a little bit of flutter on you now. And we had KC8KJO. I was talking with his name was also Tom here a little earlier. And then I also heard W8EAP. I was monitoring earlier, and then I heard him jump in there giving a guy a call. And I didn't hear that person respond back, so then I decided to give him a shout back and got no response from him. So he must have been really in there quick and out of there quick, but I'm seeing him up on the computer screen, so I figured he was still listening, but maybe he has his volume turned down or muted or something, and so that's why he didn't respond back. So and then Tom came in there. So I'm going to see if he's back. If not, then, Patrick, you can pick her back up again. Let's see if Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Tom, are you back in there yet? That doesn't sound like it yet there, Patrick, so go ahead.
Okay, my thought is, with antennas, what would be your recommendation for an antenna? I still have to put one on my house for my Radio Shack, if people bought it. I'm looking at a Diamond X50A, I believe. So I'm going to mount that with my satellite dish that's sitting there, because I don't use satellite no longer. It's just that mass is just sitting there taking the space of other use for something else.
Oh, yeah, I do remember you telling me about that the other day. I guess, were you talking like VHF, UHF, or HF? What were you thinking of?
I'm going to do VHF, UHF first, and then when I get my general piggyback off of that one and do HF on it as well. So it'll probably be, I could probably put two of them up there, but it's going to be just the one for now.
Well, here's one for you, and I don't even know if it's available anymore or not. It's a Comet brand, and it's called a GP Juliet Papa 15, GP 15. It's a tri-bander. It covers 2 meters, 440, or 27 centimeters. people just call it 440. It's just shorter that way. And then 6 meters. And here's a hint. Now, if you want to talk, that would be all, I should mention too, 6 meters FM is what it is.
Who cares?
And what I did is, because I like doing 6 meters single sideband, is I took a 5/8 wave magma whip that I had ended up cutting too short at one time, tuning another antenna, so I kept the whip. And I said, oh, let's try putting that in there. And I put that in its place, and lo and behold, it just so happened to be the right length for the calling frequency on 50.125. So it was a very good antenna, and heck, even when the meteor shower was going on for the Leonids, I ended up working Marshall Islands on 6 meters, one of my prized QSL cards. So for a vertical, it would be for the 2-meter 440, but out of the 3 horizontal ground planes on that antenna, one of them is the coiled whip for the 6-meter band.
KCAKJO.
Yeah, go ahead there, Tom. And then we got Patrick in there mobiling along. Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Tango Papa, new ham there. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I was sitting the wrong side of the radio that I... I was sitting the side where the plug goes in and not the PCB, so I couldn't bump in there right away.
Okay, no problem. We'll pass it over to Patrick there, see if he's still within the footprint there. Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm still here, but I didn't catch that radio making my, as I was switching cars, so I'm about to get my wife's car washed and full of gas. 75 still kind of backed up back here, so. Can you give me that Comet model number again? And the person who's speaking before him about the other radio as well, too, because I was transitioning to a different car at that time. This is K8ZTP.
Okay, Patrick, for you, Comet GP15. Comet, Julie, Golf GP, Golf Papa 15, GP15, and it's a tri-band, 6, 2, and 440, and I guess the key point I was trying to make about it, why I think it's a great vertical antenna for VHF and UHF, and there's two rods for the ground plane, and the third one as part of the ground plane is the 6-meter coil. And I was making a comment about the one that it came with is tuned for the 6-meter FM frequencies, but I wanted to do 6-meter single sideband because there was more activity there than on FM for my location. And I stuck in a little bit too short of cut 5/8 wave width from another MagMount antenna I had sitting around, and I decided, oh, let's try that. Put it in there, tuned real nice to the calling frequency of 50.125, and so I used that. And then I commented on the story about when we had a meteor shower in the Leonids, I ended up making a good contact down to Marshall Islands. That was my very first far-off DX contact on 6 meters single sideband. So I consider it a very good antenna. It's also fiberglass, and it's a one-piece antenna, which is another thing I like. So as far as the vertical part of it, one piece. Back to you there for comment, Patrick, and then if you want to pass it over to Tom, KC8KJO, I'll leave that up to you there, Patrick. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Now I got the comment, Golf Papa 15. I'm going to look that up on probably DX Engineering or Ham Outlet, Ham Radio Outlet, or what's the other one? Gigaparts. I'm going to look at it later when I get to the computer. And I was mostly dealing with VHF and UHF for now. As I said, I'm going to get that probably under my belt really good. I've been on some of these nets around here. So I'm still trying to get used to talking to people and their cue codes they've been using and whatnot. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Tom. I'm sorry I didn't catch your call sign as I'm mobile and trying to do two things at once.
Kilo Workweight, Zulu Papa Papa. Patrick, my call sign is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, KC8KJO. Easy way to remember it is KC8Cujo. But I, Ham Radio Outlet is a pretty good place to look. I got my mobile through DX Engineering. That's where my mobile's at, but all the other ones are all secondhand that I bought from other hands, except for my little foul thing here that I'm playing with. That one I bought on Amazon, I think, for like $25, probably about 5 years ago. Go ahead, Thomas, KCKJO.
Got a phone call. I'll be back. KZRDCO. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, my first radio was a Biofang. I got like three of them now. I got the UV5R version, which is pretty okay for when I first started. But after that, I heard that they have a lot of, what they call, spurious emissions. So then I had to finally upgrade and get a Yaesu FT60R, which I'm using right now, which is a pretty decent radio. Programming by hand is an issue sometimes, so I tend to forget how I program it because I programmed the Baofeng and learned how to program the Yaesu HT. And now I got to learn how to program the Yaesu mobile station I just got as well. So I need to start making like some index cards on how to program these and keep them handy to me. I don't have any programming software except Turk for the Baofeng. I don't feel like paying for the cables for the Yaesus as of yet. And I'm, maybe a year into ham radio right now, and I'm dragging my daughter into class in the pier, so we'll see how this goes. This is K8BTP, and back to Tom, I believe, KC8KJO.
You got it, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. And I'm over here in Memphis, so I know exactly where you're going to in the pier. Baofeng was, I used TURP for that. If you go on Amazon, they have I got a multi-cable that I program my Radio Shack Pro 197 scanner, and I use it to program my Baofeng, and I used to use it to program my Kenwood mobile 2-meter. So the cable's probably like $20. Software, I'm not sure where you're going to get that from. But I don't even, Alinco has their software, but it's kind of sketchy. It really doesn't do, really doesn't show much. So I just program my Alinco by hand, my mobile. And once you do it quite a few times, you get used to it. I've got 126 channels on my Baofeng, and I probably got about 40, 50, no, not even that much. Probably about 30, 30. I think I cut out there, Patrick.
You did cut out. I got to the point where you said you had like 30 programs and some radio, didn't you cut out?
Yeah, that's because I'm sitting at my kitchen table. Dogs are quiet, so I'm not going to disturb them. But no, I got the Alinco software for my mobile, and that was just too complicated, so I just programmed it by hand. But I've learned to program my Baofeng by hand, and my older Alinco radios I program by hand because they're older. They don't have software for them. But you can get that cable, that multi-programming cable, through Amazon. And they're all programmed. Something I like to do. So I love computers. What can I say? Good luck on your daughter and the peer.
Can you give me that model number again of a multi-cable from Amazon? I didn't question the model. It said it was PD something.
Give me a couple minutes to, for recent purchases. So stand by. I'll look it up for you.
Hey, guys. I got off of telephone there. I'm back in, and it sounded like Tom was going to go look something up for you, Patrick. So go ahead, Patrick. Give me the radio show. Unless Patrick disappeared too for a while, I'll just stand by. Tom, while you look up whatever you need to look up there, give me the radio show.
I'm sorry. I got off the car to put in gas, and I took frequency. So go ahead. What you were doing? I'm just up here pumping gas at BP right now. I thought if I would, I'm taking 75 back because it's still packed.
Oh, okay. Operator error. Yeah. That's the thing why they actually invented the lock mechanism, so you don't do that. You'll have to maybe want to learn that on your HD. I think it's like a, for mine, is like a function and then one of the buttons on the keyboard, on the DTMF keypad. But anyways, yeah, it can happen. Well, if you got traffic, I assume it's your rush hour, and I'm going to take a guess there's no other way around where you're trying to go unless you want to take side roads or county roads. Yeah, we kind of do that around here too, get off the main drag and head on the country roads. Well, not the gravel roads, but back roads that are paved. Try to stay off the gravel ones. Kick up too much dust.
You're right about there not being another way except the highway, or the side streets would take all day, even which would take longer. So, yeah, because I don't want to, where I'm at right now, I don't want to put gas, a full tank of gas in this car at this price. So I was thinking about getting the car wash further down, maybe about 5 miles away, 10 miles away, and it's cheaper with gas down there too. But I got to take the highway to get there. And, yeah, I did set the lock function on the radio. I do know what it is, but the AC is normally in scan mode most of the time. So, yeah, I locked it this time so it won't happen when I get out the car or move around.
I'm just giving you a little bit of grief, just a little. And, yeah, you did copy GP15 comments. You got her down, so that's good. And the only addition is like, if you're going to try to do the single sideband bit, then you may want to look at buying a 5/8 wave mag mount replacement whip. You know, I think they can come by themselves. I know at Radio City they sold them as an either quarter wave or 5/8 wave. And it's just a straight whip. There's no coil or anything inside. It's just a straight whip. And then I just added that in. It's actually the one I added, I think, was a one of those black-colored ones. And I think it might be brass color, if I remember right, underneath it. So it worked well. I can't complain. I actually... got the QSL card to prove it. And the sad part about that whole story is that I wrote the contact down on a post-it note, and the post-it note got stuck, slid under some equipment or a computer or wherever it went. And then I decided to do a little cleaning up around the shack, and then I said, "Oh, cripes! I found it." So I looked them up on QRZ. Emailed him and asked him if I could still get a QSL card out of the deal, and he said, "Yeah, I actually got a few QSL cards left I don't know if he was a special event station or not, to be honest, but I think he was working out there or something, and so he was out there for a time, but he doesn't live there now, or at least when I messaged him. So he said, "Yeah, well," I gave him all the information from the post-it note that I had on him, and he gladly sent me a card. So I was tickled pink to get that card. So it's one of my prized QSL cards to work Marshall Islands on 6 meters meteor scatter.
Well, hopefully someday I'll get to where I can do an HF on a maybe a handle, or actually at my base station if I get my base station up running.
I think I heard J in there, N-A-W-J-L. We got Patrick out there, K-E-A-Z-T-P, and we got Tom on the side there, K-C-8-K-J-O, and you know who I am, K-B-Z-R-D-C-O. Go ahead, Jay.
November 8th, we just landed. Good afternoon, whatever the case may be, gentlemen. I just got in here, had to go to funeral this morning, so, and got home, and I said, "Well, let me turn on the radio and see who's out there." Oh, lo and behold, we got the old crew. This is NAWGL. Who is it go to?
Well, I think we're waiting for Tom to come back. I'll give a chance for Tom to jump in. If no Tom, then we'll pass it over to Patrick. KC8KJO to grab it if he's available. If not, over to KE8ZPT.
I am here, and I got the parts for Patrick. I don't know how he wants to get any information, if he gives it over the air, or if he wants to just... call me on my personal cell, and I'll give it to him that way.
It doesn't matter. You can do it over the air if it's just the part number for the antenna. I have no issues with that. You want to just broadcast it right now, sir?
Well, this is for that programming cable, as Sir Kenwood, Motorola, gave to Vertec, Icom.
bear with me a second. I'm losing signal, so I'm going to have you guys do your go around for a minute while I come back and get back in range.
Copy that. Passing it over to Thomas. KB0DC-O.
Yeah, we'll just see if anyone else wanted to jump in. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you guys getting stuff taken care of there. And what was it I was going to say? Yeah, I got FT8 going on in the background. Actually, 10 meters seems to be hopping a little bit right now. And usually 10 is usually kind of quiet, but got a real good strong signal in there from someone. I have yet to, I just kind of clicked on his signal here on the waterfall. And it looks like his call is K6LPO. So he's doing a real good strong signal in there tonight. I'm going to see if I can try to give him a shout there while we're chatting here. And I guess to do anything, to find out where the heck he's at, I'll go over to your QRZ, paste him in, and see where he's at. Montgomery, Texas. So that's where he's out of. And a good photo of him there, too. Yeah, so, all well and fun. He seemed to be multitasking there, Patrick, at some point. Oh, yeah, well, since we got plenty of us around and Jay kind of came in, what I can do is, since we'll kind of start with me passing it off to Jay, and Jay, I guess, could pass it to Patrick, and Patrick could pass it to Tom, and Tom can pass it back to me. But if the other way people would probably prefer is like, well, if I got something to say, I'll queue. So it's up to you guys what you want to do, but just at least a suggestion. So I will pass it to Jay, N8WJL, in the group, KB0DCO.
Yeah, roger. Okay. I thought I had lost all you guys. Last time we talked was, several days ago. I said, oh, well, maybe that's just you guys coming in there for one day and that's it. Wasn't expecting to catch you guys out here today on the preview. I just was canning. And I know you and, if I'm not mistaken, you're in Minnesota. I believe in Patrick. He's in Flint. I'm in Detroit, and I don't know where the rest of it is, but maybe the other gentlemen might kind of let me know where they're at. This is November 8th, Whiskey, Julian Lima, over to Patrick. I got that quick.
Jay, I think they left you holding the bag. Yeah, well, we can kind of do the round-robin thing a little later until everyone is actually on par, you know, and of course, Patrick could have had to disappear there for a little while because he was pumping gas there earlier, and so he's probably paying that, unless he's paying at the pump, and then he's on the road right away. And Tom was giving him there that information. I had to kind of run away from the phone here a little bit and come back. So I heard it was being passed over to me, and I said, yeah, I'll get back here just in time. And also to mention to you, Jay, your audio level seems to be a little low, just to let you know, compared to the other guys, but it might be not necessarily you directly. It could be the connection to the repeater that you're running. So it might not just be you, because when we talked to you directly in Echolink, your audio was great. So just making you aware of that. So I have to kind of crank up my volume here a little bit to hear you, Jay. So I'm going to throw it up for whoever wants to grab it, I guess, and kind of play that way a little bit. KB0, do you see it in the group?
Hey, KJO, I'm still here. I was just moving radios around. And waiting for Patrick when he jumps back in. Roundtable, I like the roundtable discussion, and just handing it off. Good idea, Thomas. I like it. KTKJL over to Jay, NAWJL. I like that. We just landed. I like that.
Yeah, well, right now, I'm going to jump out, fellas, because, got to give me something for this headache. We'll get back with you guys if you're still in there. This is November 8th. We're just leaving.
KCPP.
KAZPP, KCKGO, go ahead.
I'm back in range. I had to go to the car wash. Sorry about that. And my reception is getting pretty bad. I didn't want to take away from you guys. But I'm back on the road right now. Trying to take the car back to the wash because, yeah, I'm going to get gas somewhere else. I ain't paying $3.45 for some gas when I can get it for like $3.02 somewhere else. That's the thing about parts of Michigan. You can go like 15 miles down the road, gas is cheap, you come back, it's expensive the other way. So, yeah. With that, if you do have time, I'd like to get that multi-programming cable model number from Amazon because I just got the one for the bowel thing right now. I need one for Yaesu. Yeah, Yaesu, basically. Well, I do have an Icon. I got an Icon 200 I got just in my other car. So if you'd be kind enough to give me that information, I'll greatly appreciate it. This is Kilo Echo 8 or Zulu Tango Papa.
K-A-C-T-P. Okay, you got a paper and pen, you got writing and a piece of wood. I can't find the item number, but I have it in Amazon here. I ordered it 4 years ago, and I still use it. I actually use it for my Vertex Standard HDs also. When you're ready to copy, I will give it to you.
I have a wooden stick and some flat paper. Go ahead.
Okay, the brand name is Fumai. That's Foxtrot, Union, Mike, Echo, India, FUMEI, and it's called an 8-in-1 computer USB programming cable. So Fumai 8-in-1 computer USB programming cable. There's like 8 connections on it, and I love this cable to death.
I got the Fumi 8-in-1 USB connector. I'll look it up on Amazon when I have time, and I'm in my computer. As I said right now, I'm taking the car back to the wife. We'll get gas after we go out for dinner, because I'm not paying almost $3.50 for some gas. Matter of fact, I just went out of street, and it's $3.22. The other one I just went to was $3.45. I ain't went maybe 5 blocks. So, yeah, gas prices are a joke around here. With that, I'm going to thank you for the information. Tom, I lost the paper with the call sign. Sorry. I'm going to head over to Thomas now.
Yeah, there you go. And then if we're right by the button to key up, then we'll do it. Yeah. And off topic a little bit, maybe on topic, I looked up Joseph J on QRZ, and so looks like he's sporting a morning or an evening photograph by a I'm going to say a red Cadillac, but he can correct us later. But and if you look me up, I'm actually in the back of that pickup truck I was describing. And I had a friend of mine had a carpeted table, or I'll call it a workbench. And we put all our ham radio equipment on there for field day. And I never did get a chance to find a good enough picture to post from the outside. It was more impressive with the computers and the radios and everything in there. And then, of course, an earlier photograph of me on another field day down the description there in QRZ. But for you guys want to try to do stuff on Echolink at a later time, that would also work. Because I got some other things I would like to discuss with you guys. And I'm not sure if Tom is in Echolink or not. But if you are, great. Look us up. Our call sign's on there. We can all have a closed discussion about some stuff at a later date. So with that, Patrick, glad to hear you out there getting some information there and moving along your way. And, yeah, the general shouldn't be too hard to go for. I mean, if you think the technician class was a breeze, I would say the general wouldn't be that much more difficult. But I will say I tried the advanced and extra, and I just could not get them. Of course, we don't have to worry about advanced anymore for taking that test. But extra, I took that a handful of times and just could not get it passed. So I guess I did not memorize it too well. Of course, some of the concepts are kind of a little over my head, so it's like I need someone to explain it to me a little bit better. And then maybe I might if I can catch the concept better, then that might open things up a little bit better for me. But I would have to decide to be able to when I'm going to sit down and do it. That's the thing. And probably would be a winter project.
I think we lost Thomas there for a moment.
Yeah.
Which one? You talking about Minnesota or you talking about Memphis? KCKJO.
He's on the hands over IP, I believe.
Yeah, I think he was referring to me.
Okay, gotcha. K8ZTP, Patrick. When you get back to your hometown there, when you get home, go on to QRZ and bring up my ID. And if you have a trouble finding that cable, and I'll take a picture of it and send it back to you.
Appreciate it, sir. I'm going to look it up so that I get home.
Copy that. On to Thomas. Hands over IP.
Yeah, I'm thinking that figuring out more and more as we go along that that's more or less going to be I take blame on that one. Because when we were working with Patrick and Jay the other night, a couple nights ago, we were trying to figure out what was going on, and we were getting this tone coming back. And from Sean's perspective, it was coming from the Fenton, Michigan repeater. But so we were figuring it was something that was coming in over there. And it's more or less, I'm thinking it could be a timeout thing that's happening then over there. And that's my guess. Because it seems like it has happened when I was transmitting, but then again, we got some shenanigans going on with someone else out there that fails to identify themselves. So we were figuring it might be all to do with that particular individual. So I'll leave it at that. Jay, pick it up if you want, and 8WJL, KD0DCO.
I think Jay had to step out. I think he was getting some medicine for his headache, he was saying. So, I'm going to last few minutes in. But, yeah, the other night, I really thought it was maybe on my end because he said it was coming from repeater and Flint. But as you said earlier, I think it just happened now again. But I didn't hear no tone again if it happened again. But you did cut out on me. Like three-quarters of the way through your conversation, you cut out again on me. So, I don't know the deal about somebody not identifying earlier because I wasn't paying attention or listening to the frequency at that time. But with that, I'm going to hand it over to
KC8KJO, Tom.
Yeah, I heard Thomas drop out too. Don't know what's going on there. Can't figure it out. I'm still trying to figure out hands over IP. I'm looking at the website and I'm a little bit lost on it, but I'll research a little bit more, I guess. But Thomas, you can help me out with that aspect of it.
Yeah, okay. Let's get you to, or let me ask you this first. Are you familiar with the All-Star stuff?
Just all the links through Echolink when I'm on there. I am registered with Echolink, so yeah, I can hit one of your nets one of these days. I usually do that between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. before I go to work. I usually hit the East Coast Reflector net, and then if I'm driving during that time, then I hit it through the DM repeater downtown. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I've been monitoring, or trying to monitor, not closely, but I got it on my screen while I'm doing something on my iPad, doing FT8 on the laptop, and, you know, just got myself a little sidetracked here a little bit, but, that's kind of par for the course, I guess. When you got a shack, you got a lot of things going on. But anyways, no, what I've been monitoring is k8fbi.servebeer.com/allmon2. And so when I'm keyed up, as it were, I'm showing it being the beer's hub. And it shows the received. And right now we're into coming up on 1 minute, so I'm kind of keeping an eye on that to see if that tone comes up at to what length of time that tone comes up, if it comes up again. So I'm trying to keep an eye on that to see if that is the case. And if that is, then that will be pointing one finger at the repeater and three fingers pointing back at me. So that's more or less what I'm thinking is going on. But anyway, so that's showing who's transmitting, what's transmitting in green anyways, and when no one's transmitting, it's not green. It'd be interesting if something would show red or a different color, but that's an All-Star Network monitor, I guess is what that is for, the KFBI network is what I'm trying to watch. And then as far as the hands over IP stuff, we're sitting at past 2 minutes here now. So I'm going to guess at the 3 minute mark is when that's going to go. So I'm going to try to get it back to you there, Tom, first before it even reaches there. And I'm going to change it over to you at 2:30, 2 minutes 30 seconds, and there it is. So back to you, Tom.
Whiskey 8 Echo Alpha Papa.
Well, there's Eric. We tried calling for you earlier, but you never responded back after you tried calling someone else. I tried calling you, and then you disappeared on us. Go ahead, Eric.
WATAP. Yeah, I was at work, so my boss walked up to me, so I had to. I'm off work now, finally.
Ah, doing something you shouldn't have been doing. The boss came up. Oh, I better shut the radio off. Okay, well that explains it.
Yeah, I was monitoring you there for a while and have a bone to pick, but I'll let the other guy go. Cujo, go ahead.
W88P, how's it going, Eric? CCKGO. Yeah, I was just trying to figure out hands over IP. I got the website up, but Thomas mentioned something about the Flying Bears net. Sounds like a website, but I didn't get it all at one time. I had it at one time, but I forgot what it was.
Oh, well, the net that I talked about was through the Echolink of Handy Hams, which would be Ham Talk is the name of the net, and that's located in out of Minnetonka, Minnesota. And I'm thinking the Handy Hams is located out of Minneapolis. At least that's where the conference hub, I believe, is out of, but don't quote me on that. But I figured the Handy Hams, that was through, I forgot what medical center, but anyways, downtown Minneapolis somewhere. I think close to the U of M, but I'm not sure on that. And I would have to look that information up if you needed it or wanted it. But with a hands over IP, I'm basically coming in through a telephone versus a radio RF-wise. And I think maybe Eric could maybe explain it better than I can, because I'm still new at it yet. But I know it's in a confined system. You can't dial 9 to get out. And so you can't call to a landline or a cell phone, as it were. So it's only by extension only. And so consider hands over IP or hams over IP. Consider everybody in an office building, and you can talk with each other, but not outside the building. And the building just so happens to be the globe. So that's the quickest way I can describe it to you there, Tom.
So I need some type of voice phone in order to play around with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct. I'm running a AC Audio Codes brand model 405 Hotel Delta HD. And so that's what I'm currently using. But for me, I dial in a number directly into the system versus through a node number. See, if I wanted to go through the long way around, it would be like a star 3 and then connect up to, let's say, W8CPT's Space Odyssey hub, and then once I'm connected to an all-star hub or node, then I would then connect up to the K8FBI node or hub of repeaters. So that's how I would go at it that way. Then when I want to get out there, then I just do a star 1 and the node number to disconnect from the K8 FBI. And then when I'm done, then I just hit the end button or hang up button to leave the Space Odyssey All-Star Hub. So that is that. Now that would also be a one direction, like a radio key up, star 99, and then when you're done, pound to hang up. And then to go back to receive mode, and then of course, if you're going to like the way I do it, once I got the other number, so I can just dial directly in. So then, with the number that or node number that I had gotten, or should I say an extension? I'm confusing my terms here. The node number I dialed into, it's a full duplex. So if someone else keys up, I can hear it. But otherwise, if I came in through the other way, I would not. So hopefully I didn't confuse you there, Tom.
Wow, you confused me.
I got it right to acquire a VoIP phone. And maybe my office has some old ones over there. But I think those are Cisco phones or whatever those phones were over in our old office. I don't know. I could probably pick one up somewhere. Go ahead, Eric.
KTKGO. All right. I'll try to make this simple. So basically, you can dial up another ham, and or you can dial into an all-star node, or you can dial into a conference room, or you can dial into a repeater. It depends. Some repeaters have a all-star node, and they also have a hams over IP number you can dial in. But the phone that Thomas has, I think there's a couple more of those available, and those do not have Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. But if you want to spend about $40, you get a Cisco 525G. Excellent phone. 5-line phone. You can put other lines on it if you want. But about $40 are a fantastic phone. And they have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and they're just a good quality phone. You can get them a number of different places.
Okay, so a Cisco 525. I could probably find that on eBay, or I could probably find that on Amazon or something like that. Man. So, okay, another toy I can go look for.
Well, any...
Actually, you might want to try Metroline Direct, which is out of Troy. They have them. They're refurbished. They're nice. They're clean and shiny, and in the box with all the original equipment. If you get them on eBay, they're going to be kind of beat up, and you won't be getting the accessories, the box or anything, you know. But Metroline Direct out of Troy, Meyer Drive in Troy. You might want to check that place out. They have all the different phones. But, yeah, for the price, that's about the best phone. You could spend $200-$300, but, you know, for what you're going to be using it for, that's probably your best bet.
And I know where Metroline, I know where Meyer Drive is at, definitely, because I got a place on the street from them.
If you want a good free phone, I'm sure there's a guy named Anthony who was somehow, I don't know how he had, you know, a supply of these, but he had a supply of them, and he gave them out to a bunch of people. And then we all upgraded. So there's a bunch of those audio code 405HDs floating around. Those are good phones too, but they're only one line, which, you know, for the hams over IP, you only need one line. And doesn't have Wi-Fi, doesn't have Bluetooth. But it's free. Or you can spend about $40 and get a little more nicer phone.
And then also, Tom, you can expand like a... If you're a big boss on your desk phone, you can have all these carts alongside of your phone and daisy chain them down and say, yep, here's all my memory channels for all these people. And then if you fill that up, then you can go add another one on the other end and fill in a whole bunch more. Unfortunately for me, I was trying to program in node numbers into the memory. And so it's like, okay, if I want to connect, then I try to do the star, put into the memory like a star and then 3 in the node number, and then I would just try to, you know, speed dial that in from the directory, but that didn't quite work so well, so I don't think that works on this particular phone. Not sure about the Cisco's, though, because I don't have that answer, though I would like to find out.
Well, first of all star node number, you can't just dial an all-star node number. Completely different numbering system, completely different system, so no. But there are, like you mentioned, Captain Don does have a hams over IP phone number or extension number to get into his node. And as you notice, his node number and his extension number are two different things. So no, you can't just do that. Some people you can. Some people have that access, but most all-star nodes do not. So you just got to look at, you know the person or look them up and see if they have an a hams over IP number.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. It's like okay, I dial up Don's Space Odyssey hub. It's like, okay, I'm now connected. So now I'll go to my directory and then hit the have it dial star 3, let's say, for example, 473670, then I would connect, and then when I would be done, then I would go down to the second memory channel and then say, okay, then I'll hit this speed dial, star 1473670, and then have it just connect. So that's what I was trying to program up all the memory so I don't have to manually type in all these stuff, but I figured that's what all these carts are for off the side of the phone, is to program all that stuff in. So you just hit one button, then it connects you up, and then let it do it, and then when you're done, hit another button, and or just simply just hang up the phone, and it would all disconnect. But I am maybe trying to simplify it too much.
crap. Okay, so let me tell the other Tom guy that what you do is go to handsoveriP.com.
Got rid of a bunch of those.
What you have to do is create a help desk ticket to get a login. Okay, you got to get a name and a password. But once you get a login, then you log back in, and then you do a help desk ticket. Say you're requesting an extension. You just click a drop-down box, requesting an extension. And they're going to ask you for your name, address, call sign, whatever. They may make you send in a picture of your actual ham license, you know, the real copy of your ham license. And then within anywhere from 12 minutes to 2 hours, they're pretty quick, you'll get your extension number from Hams Over IP. And then when you get your credentials, you can program those into your phone, which there's a million people out here to help you do that.
Nice double. So the information that Eric was mentioning, I believe, was heading towards Tom, KC8KJO. So KJO, go ahead and grab it.
Yeah, sorry, Eric, if I stepped on you. As I said, that Cisco 525, I think, is what my old office had, and when we got rid of our VoIP phones and went to Teams, they dumped them all in the recycle bin. So maybe I can find something in our new stock room. Maybe there's some parts in there. I don't know. I'll find out. See what goes on. If not, that Metroline is a pretty easy website to maneuver through.
Right. I don't know what part you missed, but I was saying go to handsoverip.com, and the first thing to do is request a help desk, and that's how you request a login name and password. Once you get that, that's like instantaneous. And then you go back in and create another help desk ticket and ask for an extension number. And then anywhere is between 12 minutes. If the guy's right there, it'd be about 12 minutes or a couple hours. But he's usually really quick. He'll give you your extension number and a password. And then you enter all that into the phone.
Oh, that's easy enough to do.
Right, on the Cisco phone, there's a few more settings you got to tweak. It shouldn't take you more than like 5-10 minutes tops, and then you can start programming in your speed dials and address book and all that stuff. But it's got five lines on it, so one of your lines will be ham over IP. That'll be like your first line, and then you have four other lines to do other SIP services with. But yeah, like I said, if you need help, I can help you out.
I appreciate that. And just as a side comment, Captain Don just got done reprogramming my TYT with OpenG 77, so we got that all set up for now. And then with W8FU, he got me an open spot. So now I'm on DMR open spot from the house. So I'm not occupying my time until I go back to work next week. KCKJO, Cujo.
Yep, well, I'm just pulled in my driveway, but I'll be back on here later, so I'll talk to everybody in a few. Yeah, I'm glad you met Captain Don and Sean. These are good people, good information to help you out. Anywho, I'll be back later. W8EAP.
73 to you. KCK Joe. And Thomas, I got to jump for a little bit. I got to get these dogs fed and everything. But radio beyond, I'm charging my DMR. So, 73 on your final. KCK Joe.
Okay there, Tom. Sounds fine. Yeah, if you can go jump into the back room over there and find one that ain't being used, or ask if you can take it home and play with it, then... yeah, then you can play around, and just as much as Eric told you there, yeah, Don, W8CPT, Don had told me that, helped me along to get all this stuff set up. The only thing that he hasn't been able to help me with is the microphone setting on this phone, and we narrowed it down to, you have to dial, I'm using an iPad, okay, so we type in the IP address in there, and then it will take you to the telephone itself. Unfortunately, it would be nice if you could do it on the phone itself, but But no, so there is some software settings, I guess, and we need to figure out how to adjust the microphone gain on this phone because it's a little hot. I've been trying to figure that out. I played adjusting some numbers on the gain on the first setting, but that didn't seem to do anything. And I called up a test telephone number that would give me an echo back, but unfortunately it's not like Echolink. It's for latency issues. I wish they would have one where you would say something into it, then it would repeat back to you after you unkey, like Echolink does. That's what I don't know if Hams over IP even has that functionality, but if they do, I would like to find out what it is so I can try using it, so I can try to make adjustments, do a test call, and if it don't work, put it back, and then go to the next setting and adjust that and see what setting will actually adjust that I want to get adjusted. Sometimes they don't seem to make it that clear. So, okay, Tom, well, go get those dogs fed. We'll catch you again later, and I guess JN8WJL went off the side, and I'm going to assume Patrick might be still on the road, KE8ZTP, and Eric is cleared out because he just got home, so I'm not sure who's left. But I'll hang around. KB0DCO.
This is K8GPP. I'm still on, but I'm going through Echolink now because I'm in the bar with the wife. I just listened to the conversation. I'm trying to catch everybody's call time, but I wasn't quick enough. So I'm still in here, but I'm probably just in here monitoring and listening. So I'm going to say 7-3, but I'll be monitoring. This is K8GPP.
Okay there, Patrick. Sounds fine. Audio looks to be, sounds a little muffled there. Maybe you were a little too close to the mic, maybe. Or maybe you were hitting it up into the yellow there a little strong. But this ought to let you know about it. And so a little hard to copy up, but I got most of what you said. And so I'll let you go, and I guess Eric said he'll be back later on, so I don't know if Jay came back or not, but Tom is gone, Eric is gone, and Patrick, you're kind of there, kind of not. And so I guess the only person I'm not aware of is if Jay came back or not. So if Jay, if you're there, come on in. If not, then I'm going to sit and pass my 70 keys along, and I'll just sit out here and monitor. KD0DCO.
Hey, DBS.
KD0DCO W8EAP.
KD0. Roger.
KFA-WADAP, Roger. KFA-WADAP.